Hello, welcome to Taboo Topic. I am your host, Ken Drew. As usual, we're here for a hot seat edition on Wednesday. We're back to the regular scheduling. And a lot of things have happened in the last week or so with the Roe v. Wade possibly about to be overturned. At least that's the presumption. And as usual, the conversations have heated up and I have some thoughts I need to share out loud with you. So before we get the show started, we're going to take a short break. Stay tuned. And now to sponsor myself, me, that's right, I have absolutely no money to be made off this, just getting the word out. Now, if you've ever wondered where I get my Thinking Out Loud monologues from, well, I'm glad you asked, because they're just my articles from a Substack newsletters. Just type in the URL at kenjin296.substack.com, I repeat, kenjin296.substack.com, spell the word engine, put the letter K in front of the word engine, then you get Kenjin, one word, 296.substack.com. Then you can follow me on Instagram, Getter, TikTok, and soon, Truth Social at Kenjin_Express. I repeat, Kenjin_Express. Then last but not least, you can follow me on Facebook. Type in Taboo Topic in the search bar. Look for the logo that says Honesty Equals Understanding. There's two episodes a week. I have a hot seat edition where I scrutinize an opinion or story, popular or unpopular. Do my research so to provoke thought. Remember, that also comes with an article on Substack, so don't forget about that, on Wednesdays. Then on Friday, we go over current events, where I pick 2 to 4 stories I found interesting, and hopefully you do as well. Possibly more if I have a guest, then there's a good conversation so we can cover as many bases as possible, so you, the audience, have less holes to fill in understanding the truth. That's 2 episodes a week, guaranteed, which you can listen to this show on any platform from Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google, and more. So stay up to date and tune in. Don't forget to leave a review either. If it's less than a 5-star, let me know so I can better serve you. Here on this show, we dare to think out loud and question the narrative. Free speech triumphs your safe space, because in order for us to think, we have to risk being offensive. If we want to have true peace in our society, we have to be able to be honest with each other. If we can be honest with each other, then we'll have a true understanding that will lead to real peace. Amen? All right, let's get back to the show. Welcome back to Taboo Topic. I am your host, Ken Drew. And before I share my thoughts out loud with you concerning this topic of abortion and how it affects men, that's the theme of today's episode, be sure to hit the subscribe button and hit the share button. Share this with your friends and family members in particular. If you want a show that's provocative or at least provokes thought, this is a show for you and your friends and family members. Now, let me share you some thoughts before we really get in depth with today's theme, which is abortion does affect men as well. I don't remember a time when abortion was not part of the conversation in American life. It was years before the term abortion entered my vocabulary, but the pro-choice side tends to tell men, such as myself, to keep our mouths shut. It's true, I don't know what a pregnancy is like. However, I do know what it's like to grapple with the idea of killing your own child, or at least opening up to the idea, like in my case. This is my story. The first time I heard about abortion was through my mom. She was blunt, as she literally told me that a mother had the option to kill or keep her own child, me, before birth. I think I was perhaps 11 or 12 in a guest bedroom at our home. I asked her if it came across her mind, which she adamantly replied in her Hispanic, passionate tone, no, and brought me in for an embrace. I didn't think much of it at the time, nor do I remember how the subject was brought up, but as an adult, that conversation sticks out almost 14 years after her passing. That was the first time I heard about abortion. I didn't understand the gravity of the choice. I ignorantly didn't think much of it. Frankly, what kid should? But then I got involved with the church for the first time at age 14. I didn't have a relationship with Christ. However, I knew about him from the stories my mom would read to me before bed as a child. At this point, it had been a little over a year since my mother's passing and my dad had moved us to Florida, just the two of us. The issue of abortion wouldn't be mentioned again until my youth pastor brought it up during a youth group. I don't recall the purpose of the message other than he went on a slight tangent before returning to focus. At the time, I had accepted Christ as my savior. I've been very, and I was also studious. For any moral or social issue, I looked up scripture and then asked my youth pastor about the issue. So, curious as I was, I brought up abortion. He was a good mentor, providing me with a more in-depth look at the issue. Then one day, as I was reading scripture, I found a passage in the Psalms that spoke about how God fearfully and wonderfully made every single human being, even before the world knew of their existence. Still, I fell more into the pro-choice camp in the sense of I'm personally pro-life, but it is the woman's choice. However, I would encourage people to choose life if that makes sense. The illegality aspect didn't hit me until I watched a documentary by Ray Comfort about abortion. I broke down like a 5-year-old kid whose toy was taken away, except this was not out of selfishness. But despite my newfound convictions, in an early adulthood, I got involved in an unhealthy relationship where we were sexually active, going against my beliefs, going against the teachings from the Bible. And at one point, we had unprotected sex, after which I selfishly freaked out, which led to her freak out. The dilemma was that she was a staunch pro-choicer. She knew I was against it. However, I ignorantly got her plan B as soon as the event happened. Then on the way home, I cowered into letting her choose to terminate the pregnancy if we found out she was pregnant. Thank God didn't come to that. But it still haunts me to this day that I was willing to kill my own child for the sake of someone else and myself. At the same time, I wonder if I killed my child with plan B. Abortion affects men too. I still remember the conversation with my ex-girlfriend, how even she understood that having an abortion would create another trauma in her life. I remember the guilt I felt. We had conversations where she showed me screenshots of her looking up abortion pills. That was the lowest point in our relationship. I understood it was wrong, but I cowered. That season of life was my lowest point as a man. Imagine the men who did cross that bridge. Imagine the men who did not have a say in the matter, stealing their opportunity for fatherhood, especially those who desire the responsibility. And I have seen in the last few years what the pill does in the barbaric abortion procedure itself. It is inhumane and cruel for both the mother and child. I am distraught at the fact that I was willing to let my ex-girlfriend and potential child to go through this scenario. Abortion must be outlawed to protect children from people like myself who cower. Protect children from couples who don't know the resources that are available to them. Protect children from people who are scared and can make a life-altering decision solely based on emotion. Protect women from a traumatic experience. Protect women from men like me who are still learning how to be a man. Protect men's chance for fatherhood. The law needs to ensure that the unborn can have a chance to take that first breath of fresh air. Because if the unborn don't even have the right to exist, then rights are just an illusion. The Supreme Court might be set to overturn Roe. However, there are states that have abortion literally on demand. The fight has only intensified, and frankly, I hope to see in my lifetime a constitutional right to exist from conception. Stay tuned. We'll be back after this short break. And now to take a short break from the show to keep my promise and bring an awareness to the situation in Afghanistan, where we have about 9,000 American citizens who were left behind as a result of the disastrous withdrawal efforts by the Biden administration last year. The elite globalist leaders, the media, and big tech may have forgotten about them and would rather focus on other manners, but the reality is we have Americans who are in harm's way because nobody wants to hold our leaders accountable. It's just too inconvenient for them. So, this is a special shout out to the families and friends who have someone they know and love stuck in that country, and also to the very ones who are stuck there. You are not forgotten, and I'll keep mentioning you until there is a concentrated effort to bring you home and every single one of you comes back to American soil. Please, if you fall into one of these categories, either you're the family friend and know someone that's there and you want to let me know how we can better help you out, please reach out. Or if you're that person that just so happens to be stuck there and you happen to be listening to this episode, please reach out to me. You can reach out to me through my personal account on Instagram at Kenjin296. I repeat, Kenjin296. Spell the word engine, put the letter K in front of the word engine, then you get Kenjin, one word, 296. Please, you are not forgotten. To my audience out there, don't forget to pray. Let's pray for their safety and their return home. And now, back to the show. Welcome back to Taboo Topic. I am your host, Ken Drew, for your Hot Seat Edition on Wednesday with today's theme on how abortion affects men. And I got personal today. Now, before I go any further, be sure to hit the subscribe button. Make sure you follow this show. Share this with your friends and family members. If you want a show that provokes thought, this is the show for you. If you want a show that promotes honesty so you can have genuine peace in society, this is the show for you. Now, with that said, let's get into it, shall we? Because this is a sensitive topic, and frankly, I've been fired up ever since Roe v. Wade, the leak came out that Roe v. Wade was about to be overturned. I've gone ham on social media, on the comments section, and frankly, I've reverted to some old bad habits of getting too fixated on one issue on social media and then get caught up in the arguments in the comments section. So I'm kind of covering my base right now, just in case, long in the distant future, let's say in a hypothetical sense, I get enough attention from the mainstream media to where they look back at my social media accounts and say, well, look at this guy. He was so insensitive and everything like that. Listen, I cover my base right now. That is something I have struggled with growing up, and I'm still working on it. I've gotten a lot better about it, but I got caught up in the emotion this week, admittedly so. It's weird because I got caught up in the emotion, but at the same time, I try to use logic despite the emotional charge that I was getting. It blows my mind there are people out there that genuinely believe the unborn are not literal human beings and they cannot feel pain when the abortion procedure happens. And I cannot believe that there are people out there that dehumanize someone to the point where they just minimize their existence to just a clump of cells. And it is maddening when they state falsehoods that are anti-science and they continue to deny the science. It's like they don't want to see the truth. And so that's why the comment section anyway, that's why it seems like I've been more charged than usual. And why shouldn't I be? Because I'm a man? You just heard the Thinking Out Loud monologue, which by the way, folks, let me know if you agree with it, disagree with it, you hate it, you love it. Was it thought-provoking at least? Does it get your head turning, your brain thinking a little bit like, huh, I never thought of it that way before? How many guys, women out there, how many guys have you met that wanted the responsibility of fatherhood, but it was stripped away from them because of the law that states men don't have a say in the issue of abortion? If I'm not mistaken, I think Oklahoma, and you can fact check me if I'm wrong, but I think Oklahoma is the only state where you cannot have an abortion procedure without mutual consent from both the mother and father. Don't hold me to it, but I think that's the only state that actually protects men to have the child, at least, a chance for fatherhood. I got personal today because it's something that still haunts me to this day. And even though I could state all the scientific facts on social media in the comments section, I could blast someone's logic all I want. At the end of the day, this is real human flesh we're talking about. And I've stated this before on my show that abortion is like suicide in the sense that once you go through with the procedure, it affects everyone. This is no different. And even though I didn't cross that bridge, I cannot believe at my younger self that I cowered into opening up to the idea of killing my own child. And I've seen now sonograms of what happens to the child during an abortion procedure. They are literally fighting for their lives, pathetically, to survive this murder attempt. And that's what it is. Abortion is euphemism for murder. And it may be insensitive, but the truth is insensitive sometimes. I want people to accept the reality of this situation. There's grace for women out there who've had an abortion. But there's no grace if you don't understand the reality of the situation, of the choice you made. It's murder. Again, there is grace and God loves you still. If you have a relationship with Christ, God still... you're not going to lose your salvation over this. I promise you. But God does call you to repentance. God does call me to repentance. And I know some people are maybe getting tuned off because a lot of times when this subject gets brought up, religion gets brought up into it. And most of the time it's pro-choice that bring the religious aspect because they're accusing pro-lifers of using religion into the conversation. Which, I'll admit that I do have a religious bias. However, to say that I don't have a voice in this manner because of my religious bias even, is a farce. Because frankly, every law we have in place is a morality being enforced on everyone else. And I stated this last week on the Agree to Disagree show that every law we have in place is immorality. And it starts with the individual. Like, how do you personally feel about abortion? And then you have to manifest itself into, okay, is this something that is worth enforcing on everyone else? Which, listen, if you are someone out there that is pro-choice and you'll think this is worth enforcing, but you at least recognize that as a human being and understand the gravity of the situation... I respect your beliefs. I respect your opinion a lot more than someone just trying to ignore the science that is an actual human being or celebrate the fact that abortion is somehow this achievement of human progress. That's where you lose my sympathy. And that's really the issues I've been running into in abortion debates on social media. There's only one person I actually had a decent conversation with where... her and I were on other ends of the spectrum, but we at least agree that it was a human being in there. But could you imagine, though, how those fathers must have felt when they learned that they didn't have a chance to be, they had a chance to be a father, but they didn't get the opportunity to voice their opinion or even suggest maybe keep the child. If you don't want to raise a kid yourself, let me raise a kid. I want to be a father more than anything in my life. I want a family. I want to raise a family. But I still wonder if I ruined my one chance of being a father. I do. When I got her that plan B, I wonder if I ruined my chance of being a father. And you know, women out there who've had an abortion, majority of them have those same regrets. And there's a plethora of stories of women who had an abortion and they can't have a child afterwards when they do want to have a child. Which compounds their regret of having an abortion when they were younger. See, I'm gonna differentiate between pro-choice and pro-abortion at this point, because pro-abortion are the ones, like I said, who are, in my opinion, anti-science and just a depraved soul at that point. Those are the ones I do not have sympathy for. I have sympathy for the pro-choicers. And I think one of the another main difference between the two, and this is where I was about to go with this, the pro-abortion advocates, I genuinely believe they've never had an abortion procedure, because every story I've ever heard a woman talk about abortion, they do not act, nor do they celebrate the fact they went through with this act. If anything, the most you'll get is, I had to do what I had to do. That's the most you'll probably get. You won't hear this celebration of, I'm glad I got an abortion. It is the right of a woman to choose whether or not to murder her own child. You won't hear that from pro-choice. Like, genuine pro-choices out there. And it's interesting, because I even brought this up on the Agree to Disagree show, which, by the way, go check that out. Great show. Luigi's a good man. But what's interesting, though, is that pro-choices will at least acknowledge the science, and even within their spectrum of beliefs, when you break down the polls in the United States anyway, the majority of them will agree that at least there should be some restrictions on abortion. When you ask an American whether or not abortion should be restricted in the first trimester, the vast majority said that's when it should be acceptable. But then you see a cliff drop off when you break that further to second trimester or third trimester. The second trimester, not even in 20 percentile. Maybe in a 20 percentile. Don't hold me to that. But then the third trimester, the percentile is even lower. So Americans don't believe in abortion. The majority of Americans understand the science that it is another human being we're talking about. And this is a moral and ethical dilemma we're talking about. Now, some women may hear this and say, well, what about the women who were raped by men? Should they have a voice? No. That's not what I'm saying. In any case, here's a fun fact. Here's a brain twister for that argument. Per federal law in the United States, the person who committed rape cannot be charged, or at least there cannot be an option for the death penalty. Per federal law. But yet, that's an argument used to justify to at least have that option to give the death penalty to your unborn child. You see the irony to that? And to play devil's advocate, you may say, okay, well, let's change that for the rapist, but let's keep abortion as well, make it fair. Play devil's advocate, but why should an innocent child pay for the crime of someone else? Why should a child pay for the sins of someone else? Does it make sense? It's like the mother got hit by the dad, and then the mother decides to go ahead and kill your 2-year-old newborn or 2-month-old newborn. Does that make any sense to anyone? Does anyone not see the double standard there? The lack of consistency with that thinking? This is why I'm very passionate about this subject, despite the fact that I'm a man. Because it still affects me. Abortion affects men too. Don't tell me it doesn't affect men. Don't tell me men don't have a say in this matter when we do. It's a human issue. Because here's another thing about abortion, I've stated this before, is that abortion does not discriminate based on gender. Abortion solely discriminates base on your existence. You exist, and then the game of semantics gets played. What about this? What about this? What about that? To try to justify killing your own child. When the child has done absolutely nothing wrong besides exist. Is that a crime? Is that a crime to allow someone to take out on? My answer would be no. I think the banning of the healthcare practice is something worth enforcing, imposing a moral on everyone else. And yes, it always starts with your personal feelings about the issue, and then it manifests itself into, okay, is this something worth enforcing on everyone else? And again, you may look at my religious bias, but I ask you, look at the merit of my argument. Look at the merit of not just my argument, but any pro-lifer out there, and compare it to the one of pro-choicer. Does it make sense? Do their arguments at least line up? Do they show consistency compared to the pro-life side? Does it line up with natural law? Which argument lines up with natural law despite their religious biases? And do not use my gender again to discriminate what I have to say. Because as I've stated, the fact that I am distraught, that I've opened up to the idea at one point, and maybe potentially kill my own child with plan B, again, and that's something, I'm not entirely sure how plan B works. I just know it helps prevent pregnancy, but I've heard bad things about it. And so for all I know, I killed a potential child. I potentially killed my own child, perhaps. And if my ex-girlfriend hears this by 1 in a million chance, I just want to say I am so sorry. I was not a better significant other in that moment. I thought I was, but I was wrong. I'm so sorry that I was willing to let you go through that trauma for my sake. Instead of standing up for the unborn and giving you comfort that you weren't going to have to go through this alone. And that you and I were going to raise that kid, or at least I was going to take care of the kid if you weren't ready. Because parent should be a choice. Parenthood should be a choice. I agree. But abortion, the practice of murdering your own child, should not be legal. It should not be even on the table. Period. Any pro-choices out there, I challenge you to watch a sonogram of a child, unborn child, about to be aborted. I challenge you. And I'll challenge even the pro-abortion advocates. I still hope that you eventually one day see the reality of how depraved your logic is and how ignorant the logic is as well. I really do. And I challenge you to watch a sonogram of a child about to be aborted. Because once you watch it, as I've seen, your heart will drop if you have a soul. And when I first watched it, I cried then too. Because again, I was about to let my significant other and my child go through that. And men, there are men who pressured women into having an abortion as well. And then they later regret it as well. This issue affects everyone. Everyone's voice needs to be heard if we're going to actually solve this ethical dilemma we're talking about, this moral issue we're talking about. And I hope that one day, as I stated, there will be a constitutional amendment that we recognize that the unborn is indeed a human being and that life begins at conception. That is a scientific fact. Life begins at conception. Now, sometimes I'll use the heartbeat situation because people like to play semantics. And so I play along sometimes and I'll use the semantics and say, okay, so we can agree if a human has a beating heart, that's alive. Alive and well. And anything that is the opposite of that would be considered dead. So if that heartbeat is alive and beating, any forceful termination of to force that heart to stop would be an act of murder. Correct? Again, look at the merits of my argument. Look at the merits of any pro-life author that may, and you know what? Maybe I'm not the right voice. Maybe I'm not making enough sense to you, and maybe you need to listen to someone else that resonates better with you on the pro-life side. If you're on the, and I'm talking to those now who are on the other side, whether you're pro-choice or pro-abortion. Maybe you need to listen to another pro-lifer. There are many pro-lifers out there who do a better job of explaining their position than I do. I think I do a decent job, but there's always people smarter than me and they can better explain the gravity of the situation and why it should be outlawed in healthcare. But I do hope that at least provoke some thought. Stay tuned. We'll be back to close things out. Welcome back to Taboo Topic. I am your host, Ken Drew. Thanks for tuning into today's show. Again, thanks for taking the time out of your day to listen to what I have to say, to listen to my rants, my thinking out loud sessions. I hope you thought this show was provocative. This episode was provocative, excuse me. Again, please share this with your friends and family members. Let's go ahead and increase our numbers and help the show grow. Because honesty does equal understanding. If we're going to have genuine peace in society, we have to be able to be honest with each other. Otherwise, we'll have this fake peace and things will just manifest as something malevolent and we won't be ready for it. So, share this. Hit the subscribe button. Make sure to give it a 5-star no matter what platform you listen to this podcast from. And until next time, God bless.